you're not able. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? Abram said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. Behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad, and said, look now toward heaven, tell the stars if thou be able to number them. He said unto him, so shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. You are not going to hear anything new tonight. But I do believe that you will hear something that is true. It's not so important that a thing be new, but it is important that it be true. Tonight is the night set aside each week for prayer and the ministry of the Word of God. And these two things are linked constantly in the Word of God. They are the key to spiritual blessing. There's nothing new about that. And the lack of blessing, both individually, in an assembly, in a nation, can be traced to the lack of these two things in the lives of His people. We know that this is true because God has expressly said, if my people who are called by my name will humble me and pray, God promises to pour out a blessing. And if the blessing is not poured out, it is evident that God's people are not meeting the condition. The Word of God and prayer. These two go together as husband and wife. They're linked constantly throughout the Word of God. There are other things like faith and works. They're linked together. The apostle says, faith without works is dead, being alone. They go together, just like husband and wife. And so with the Word of God and prayer. Really, the Christian life is the simplest life that there is on earth. I didn't say easy. I said simple, because it just consists of communication. Through the Word of God, He expresses His will to us. And through prayer, we respond to that will. And the Word of God says, if we ask anything according to His will, and His will is found in His Word, if we ask anything according to His will, we know that He heareth us. And if we know that He hears us, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. That's a wonderful, assuring word. You remember in Acts chapter 6, the apostle said, we will give ourselves continually to prayer and the ministry of the Word. And what they were saying was this. Before we talk to men about God, we're going to talk to God about men. And how important that is. We will give ourselves continually, not just a hit and miss proposition. We will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the Word of God. Alfred Lord Tennyson said that more things are wrought by prayer than this world dreams of. It isn't that prayer is so great in itself. Prayer is great because of the greatness of Him to whom we pray. Our prayers are often weak, often very simple, and often very selfish. But we have a prayer-answering God. The Lord Jesus said, you remember, ask, and ye shall receive. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. Everyone that seeketh, findeth. And him that knocketh, it shall be opened. A-S-K. Ask, seek, knock. A-S-K. That's it. We need to ask. You know, and oftentimes when we pray, we really are not praying. Sometimes when we pray, we're preaching. It says in the book of James, Elias was a man of like passions as we are, and yet he prayed earnestly. And really what it says, he prayed. Sometimes we pray and we're not praying, we're preaching. Sometimes when we pray, we're asking for nothing, like that man who went up into the temple to pray. He said, Lord, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. He never asked God for one thing, and he never got anything either. When we pray, are we praying? You say, well, I don't have much time. I'm busy. I don't think Daniel was a man that had a lot of time on his hands. He was the prime minister, in effect, of the greatest monarchy on earth in his day. And yet, the scripture says, when it was announced that he was going to be cast into the den of lions, you know, it's one thing to give thanks for the food that you're to eat, but when you're praying and you're going to be the meat on the table, that's another thing. But it says, Daniel, he opened his windows towards Jerusalem, the place where God was pleased to put his name, and he prayed and gave thanks, it says, three times a day, as he did aforetime. This wasn't just an emergency operation. That was the nature of his prayer life. He prayed three times a day. He prayed. Elijah is presented us as an example of the prayer of faith. Sometimes people say, well, I prayed in faith that God would do thus and so. Well, the only way that you can pray in faith is if you are praying in accordance with the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And if you're basing your prayer on God's declared will, you can pray in confidence that He will hear and answer prayer. If we ask anything according to His will, and His will is expressed in His Word, we know that He hears us. And we know that if He hears us, we have the petitions that we desire of Him. That's a tremendously wonderful promise of the Word of God. We read in Acts chapter 4 how that they were forbidden to preach anymore in the name of the Lord Jesus. So they decided they would have a prayer meeting. And they began to pray. And they pray that thy servants with all boldness may speak thy word. They didn't pray to be excused from what the Lord had told them to do, go and preach the gospel to every creature. They prayed for boldness to preach that which they were forbidden to preach. They recognized that at a higher authority than any human authority, and Peter said we ought to obey God rather than men. No matter what the consequences were, they laid their lives on the line and said, Lord, give thy servants boldness to preach thy word. And the scripture says, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken. And you know, if you want to shake up saints, that's the way to do it. Pray. When they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were. And it says, and they spake boldly. Their prayer was answered. Then we read, and with great power, the apostles gave witness of the resurrection. Their prayer was answered. When you lay hold on God, as these did, you get what God can do. In Acts 16, we read how Paul and Silas, they're in prison. They prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And God made no attempt to intervene whatsoever. Their backs cut by the whip of the jailer in a very uncomfortable position. At midnight, they prayed and sang praises unto God. And when they prayed, God shook the sinners up. Because the way to shake the saints up and the way to shake sinners up is exactly the same way. It's prayer. It's laying hold on God. And the very foundations of the prison were shaken. And the church at Philippi began because of two men in prison prayed and laid hold on God. He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. Lewis Berry Chaper, at one time president of Dallas Theological Seminary, wrote a book entitled True Evangelism. And the subtitle fascinated me. Or Winning Souls by Prayer. Laying hold on God for the unbeliever. That's the way souls get saved. There are individuals now here in this meeting that probably came to know Christ because some mother, some father, some brother, some wife, some husband prayed for you. And God answered prayer. He might not have answered it immediately, but God answered it ultimately. Our prayers are not wasted. The prayer of a righteous man, says the scripture, availeth much. The prayer of faith is a prayer that is based on the Word of God. For the Word of God and prayer go together. And James says, ye have not because ye ask not. That's one of the reasons why we don't see prayer answered. We may say words, but are we praying? Are we really laying hold on God? Are we just reciting something? When we pray, do we pray? It says Elijah, he prayed earnestly. He prayed. And it was a prayer of faith. And it wasn't an easy prayer to pray because what he was praying for was a famine. But it was a prayer of faith because God had said that if his people were unfaithful to him, he would turn off the rain. He would cause a famine to come on that land. You read that in Deuteronomy. And Elijah knew his Bible. He said, Lord, do what you said. It was a prayer of faith. And God answered his prayer, and for 3.5 years it didn't rain. How would you like to have the rain shut off for 3.5 years? It wasn't an easy prayer for him to pray, but he was so full of love for the people of God. He says, whatever it takes, Lord, bring them down. Bring them to thyself. He prayed. We pray that kind of prayer, or we just pray, well, Lord, prosper us and may everything go hunky-dory. Is that the kind of prayer that we pray? What do we pray? We ask anything according to his will. We know he hears us. We go to our prayer meetings, and most of the time we're praying, and I'm not finding any fault with that, for people that are sick, physically. We don't hear many prayers for people who are sick spiritually. And many of us are sick spiritually. And maybe some of the physical problems that we have are due to the fact that we're sick spiritually. You know what it says in 1 Corinthians 11, there were these who were disgracing the Lord by their lack of reverence at the Lord's table. They were actually getting drunk. The apostle said that God had been dealing with these who had no reverence for God. He said, for this cause many, not a few, it wasn't just one or two. He said, for this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. God had actually taken these people out of the world because their conduct was so disgraceful. They were naming the name of Christ, and they were taking his name in vain. Think of it, fellow believer. God has been pleased to put his name upon us. What an honor. As Jeremiah thought of that, he says, thy words were found, and I did eat them. I devoured them. They were unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. Why? For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. I am the God of Abraham, I'm the God of Isaac, and I'm the God of Jacob. But he's not only the God of Jacob, he's the God of Eliab and Ryan. And if you're a believer, he's your God. Thomas said, my Lord and my God. If you're a believer, you can put your name in there. I am the God of, and fill your name in, because that's blessedly true. The Lord Jesus, you remember when he was here on earth, he said this, if a son, makes a difference, you know, who's asking. You go along the street and some fellow, he's dressed very poorly, looks like a bum on Skid Row, and he says, would you give me a dollar? Or and you look at him like, you know, don't want to give him anything, actually. Your first inclination. But if a son shall ask, if your own boy comes to you and asks you for something, what a difference it makes. If a son, you know, the wonderful thing is, if you're a child of God, you're a son of God. You're a member of the family. If a son shall ask, the Lord Jesus said, for bread, he's hungry, would you give him a stone, your own son? He said, if he asked for a fish, would you give him a snake? If he asked for an egg, would you give him a scorpion? If a son? The last. Then he said, if ye then, being evil, sinners, give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? In your prayers, you ask God, oh God, so empower me with thy Holy Spirit. We don't have to ask for the Holy Spirit. Every believer is already indwelt by the Spirit of God. It says in Romans 8 and verse 9, if any man have not the Spirit, he is none of his. We're not a child of God. Because the moment you believe, Ephesians 2 says, having believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. God, the Holy Spirit, has taken up residence in your life. But someone has said it's a lot of difference between being resident and being president of your life. I was reading just the other day what Robert Murray McShane prayed. That godly man who died at about 30 years of age after 7.5 years of ministry in Scotland. And his ministry literally revolutionized the Scotland of his day. He prayed, oh God, make me as holy as it is possible for anybody to be this side of heaven. You know, God loves to hear a prayer like that. What do we pray for? We pray that we don't get sick, or everything goes well at school, and
somebody said, to never be able to take prayer out of the schools because of examinations. You know, the kids pray that they'll pass. I guess that's true. But what do we pray for? Ask. Lord Jesus says that you shall receive. And then it says, another reason James says we don't receive, he says, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your own lust. I think it's interesting in this passage that we read from this evening to notice that this man, and he's cited in the scripture as an example of a man of faith. If you're a child of God, you're a man of faith, or you're a woman of faith, because without faith is impossible to please God. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That's the basis, without faith. Faith in what? Well, just simply believing what God said. Word of the Lord. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, I am thy shield, and thy exceeding great reward. And in this passage you see that the word of God and prayer are brought together, not only here, but dozens and dozens of times throughout the word of God. The word of God and prayer are linked because they go together. For instance, in Hebrews chapter 4, it says the word of God is living, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of the joints and marrow, and it is a critic, a discerner, a critic of the thoughts and intents of the hearts. It shows you how you are. It shows you what's wrong with you. And we need to be told from God's word what's wrong with us. And that should lead us to pray. You know what? Hebrews chapter 4 says, let us, therefore, come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy, and we need it, because we're all failures, and find grace to help in time of need. So the word of God and prayer are linked there as they are here. You have the word of the Lord coming unto Abram, and then you have Abram praying. It's interesting. God says to Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. That's a wonderful combination. God says, I'll tell you what. I'm your protector. I'm your provider. The psalmist says, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. He says, God's my protector. He says, God's my provider. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He's my provider, and he's also my protector. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. The angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear him and delivereth them, the scripture says. You know, we have one who is for us, and says the scripture, God before us, who can be against us? Is there anybody greater than God that you know? Anybody that you know? Well, of course not. And if God before me, who can be against us? Now, Abraham might have had reason to fear because, and by the way, this is the first time you have the expression fear not in the Bible. There's some 365 times you have that expression in Scripture. There's one for every day in the year. But this is the first one. And it's given to a man of faith, and God says, there's nothing to be afraid of. Fear not, Abram. I'm on your side. I'm your shield and your exceeding great reward. Now, Abraham might have had reason to fear because he had just come back from defeating these kings and bringing Lot back, his nephew who had been captured and come back victorious, and he had turned down the gifts of the king of Sodom, and people didn't take too kindly to turning down the gifts of a king was sort of an insult. So I said, don't worry about that. I'll take care. Fear not, Abram. I am thy shield. The Lord will preserve thy going out, says the psalmist, and thy coming in, this time, forth, and even forevermore. We've got one to protect us. Fear not, I am thy shield. But Abraham wasn't so much concerned about that. He said, I'm your exceeding great reward. And when God said that, when God gave him his word that he was his reward, Abraham took God at his word, and he based his prayer to God on the word that God had brought him. The word of the Lord came to him. And he said, Lord, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? I want a son. I want a baby. 75 years of age now, and he prays for a son. God graciously answered his prayer. He brought him out, and he showed him. He says, Abraham, look now toward heaven. He looked up into the starry heaven and saw all those glittering stars beaming down. God said to him, so shall thy seed be. And the scripture says, he took God at his word. He believed in the Lord. The word of God and prayer brought together. And the Lord delights to see those who are just simple enough to take him at his word. You remember that woman who came to the Lord, that Syrophoenician woman, and she said, Lord, my daughter's sick and I need some help. And the Lord said, it's not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs, to infidels, to those outside of Israel. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. She was just willing to have crumbs from his table. And the Lord said, thy faith, great is thy faith. She has confidence in him and his word. And she went away with a blessing. The word of the Lord came to Abram. God answered his faith in a remarkable way, and Abraham believed in the Lord, we read. God counted it to him for righteousness. And as Abraham looked up at the stars, so shall thy seed be. It seemed impossible. Here he was an old man, his wife an elderly woman, no way humanly speaking of him having children. And yet, when we turn to Romans chapter 4, it says he did not consider his own body now dead, nor the deadness of Sarah's womb, but he was strong in faith, giving glory to God, being fully persuaded of what he had promised. He was able also to perform. And when we build our confidence on what God says, we'll get God's answer. May God help us in the day in which we live to lay hold on God, the word of God in prayer. I am convinced in my own mind, and I think through scripture, that if you and I are going to know the blessing of God in our individual lives, we are going to have to give ourselves to the Word of God in prayer. It's going to cost something. You can go to the store and you can buy a Bible, or maybe one will give it to you. But you can't buy a Bible for even $10,000. You may have a Bible. The only way that you can buy a Bible is by meditating. That's the way you buy it. And it's a costly thing. It'll take time. It'll take energy. The only way that you'll pray in accordance with the will of God is if you know what the will of God is. Ye have not because ye ask amiss, James says, that ye may consume it upon your lust. And we need in our prayer life to be guided and guarded by the Word of God. It's a simple thing. We all know this, what I've been speaking about tonight. But it's one thing to know a thing, and it's one thing to be obedient to it. May God help us to be not only hearers of the Word, but doers. Years ago when I was a little boy, I remember I never went in the home with my parents. I never can remember going in any home when I was a boy, in which at the dinner table and at the breakfast table, the Word of God would be open and we would pray. And when we get, oftentimes, we'd have our family prayers, we'd get down on our knees and we'd pray together as a family. And today I go into many homes and I seriously doubt that many Christians, they have a Bible in the home that they go from week to week and they never open this Word and read it and meditate on it. May the prayer of our hearts really be, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. If every Christian here would determine before God, come what may, I'm going to set aside a time every day to read the Word of God in prayer. If that were done, 1 year from today, and it may be less than 1 year from today, you would be amazed at what God would do through His Word. May God help us. Shall we pray? Our Father, we know that what we've said tonight is very simple. We know it's not easy. We know there are many, many things calling to us, crying to us, clamoring to us for attention. And we pray that we may not be guilty of the terrible crime of having copy of the Bible and never reading. We pray that in our prayer life we may read it and we may plead it, we may claim its promises. Help us, Lord, we pray. So we just commend ourselves and this time together to thee tonight for thy blessing in each of our lives, for thy glory, and for the glory of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, which in His name we pray. Amen.